Do you like cutting grass? How about the smell of grass? Today, we meet Luke with J&L Lawn and Landscape, and he tells you everything about what you need to know on property maintenance and getting your grass cut and looking the greatest it possibly can. Come on in.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
Welcome to Dayton Approved, where we're interviewing and meeting and exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits here. Today, we've got Luke from J&L Lawn and Landscape. How are you doing today, Luke?
Doing fantastic.
That's great. I've known Luke for a little while now. What, 10 years?
At least 10, 12 years.
Yeah. Wow. You know, time flies. That's pretty wild. So we got Luke here. He does lawn and landscaping. He's had a little bit of an evolution in the process of his business from when he started to where he is now. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But let's just talk about a little bit what you do for your mission statement. Like, what is the main core mission for J&L?
I would say it's a couple things, but the simplest way to say it would be that we want to improve landscapes and enrich lives. And we do that through superior customer service and just really making people's lives better, giving them their weekends back. Some core values that we have in our company, we have a company acronym we call CARE, C-A-R-E, and where the C stands for competence, the A stands for awareness, the R stands for respect, and the E stands for excellence.
Okay.
And we try to employ those values in everything that we do.
Yeah, no, I love the whole acronym thing. I should probably do something like that, too. That's great.
Got a big board up in the middle of our lot that everybody can look up.
Yeah, constant reminder every day.
Constant reminder, yep.
Now, I know you said originally, you've said this before, you wanted to be Dayton's landscaper of choice.
Dayton's landscaper of choice. That's our mission. Yeah,
yeah, I emphasize that because I screwed that up earlier.
That's our internal mission. Our external mission is to improve landscapes and enrich lives. Our internal mission is to be the landscaper of choice for Dayton.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So now, tell us a little bit about that. I mean, I believe you said your communication is way different, or your communication, I shouldn't say, is way different, but you do that with communication. And explain to everyone what you mean by communication.
Yeah, so I think in our industry, communication is generally very lacking. We get a lot of reports from prospects and existing clients who tell us that they chose us because we answered the phone.
Yeah.
When they call, we took care of it.
Right.
When there's an issue, it's resolved. So we communicate quickly. We try to turn phone calls around within 24 business hours, same with emails. We just try to be very responsive. We know that people lead very busy lives, and the last thing they need is to be haggling with their landscaper over a gate that got left open or an area that got missed or anything like that.
Right.
So we just try to be very responsive and communicative and improve their life in that way.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's key. I mean, communication I've always felt is very key, and it's nice. It's almost like a breath of fresh air that a business is really considering the communication aspect.
I think we all know how nice it is when you call a business and they actually answer the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't get a recording or a robot of some sort. You mm-hmm. don't have to go through the lists of, for this, press one, for this.
Right.
So
you're telling me if they call J&L, they're not going to get somebody in Cambodia answering the phone?
Nope. They'll get a very sweet sounding lady named Joy on the other side.
There you go. Well, that leads us right to your story. So how did you even get into landscaping? Like, what was the whole process? Like, what? Let's start where you're originally from and how it all started.
So I'm from a small town south of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I grew up there until I was about 12 years old. And ever since I was a young boy, I just loved being around equipment. I loved engines and things that made noise. And every time I'd see my dad cutting the grass, I just couldn't wait till it was my turn to cut the grass because it just looked like way
too much
fun. You're
waiting for him to pass the baton down.
And I'm sure he was very excited about me taking over that responsibility too. But I just loved it. I played with Rector sets a lot, and I'd build lawnmowers out of Rector sets, and I just loved it. So my dad started me off on the string trimmer, so I learned how to string trim first, and that got me all excited to use the lawnmower. So I started cutting the grass, and then I wanted to make money doing it. Mm-hmm. My neighbor let me cut his grass for the first time, and I made $5, and I just thought that was the best thing ever.
Yeah, yeah, you were hooked. You're like, all right, I'm ready to make
$5.
Yeah.
I was ready to buy some stuff. So that I guess that just really sparked the interest for me, and I don't know how else to describe it other than it's just always been a passion of mine. You know, something that is so simple for most people, to me, it was just, I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah. Now, I remember you were saying you even love the smell of grass.
I love the smell of cut grass, yeah.
So you're the type of guy that would go to Yankee Candle and be like, give me that grass candle.
I want the one that smells like fresh cut lawn. Yeah.
I was wondering who that guy was.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. You have to mow a lawn and you can just smell that fresh cut grass in the middle of a summer day. It's just a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how many siblings you have? I remember you said you had quite a large family.
I am the second of 13 siblings. Yes. Yeah. So I have 12 siblings.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's just something you don't hear of.
No, it's not very common. In fact, I think I looked it up. I think we're in the 0.01 percentile of American families.
Well, at least you're doing your job. You know, I mean, a lot of people are just having one kid.
No kids.
Yeah, yeah, which is frightening because you got to have two for replacements.
That's 2.1 is to maintain. 2.3 is to grow.
Yes. Yep. So it's just interesting how
my parents did their part, and my wife and I are working on doing our part too.
Yes. Well, that's good. That's good. So, and I remember you were saying your wife's got a...
My wife is also from 13, yes.
Yeah. Yep. So it's like you got...
That's, massive families.
Yeah. You get this family get-together going.
Family reunions are big.
Yeah.
Yep. Very big. It's exciting.
That's good. That's good. Well, that brings you to your schooling. So you met a buddy. This is how you started
So we started the business when my family moved to Ohio from... we moved to Dayton from Pittsburgh. And... We met this other family. We were homeschooling, and we met this other homeschool family, and they had a boy that was my age, and he and I quickly became friends. His name was Jonathan Hartzell, and he had an interest in mowing lawns through high school so that he could save up for college. And I kind of had the same aspiration, too. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do at the time. You know, I was young, and I really enjoyed the cutting grass thing, but wasn't sure if I'd want to move on to something like engineering was very interesting to me. I thought I might become a mechanical engineer. So anyway, we started cutting grass together. We started a small business in the summertime. We called it J&L Lawn Service, Jonathan and Luke.
Yeah.
That's how we got started with the name. And it was just a summertime gig. We mowed a few lawns, started very small. Neither of us could even drive when we started. His older sister had to drive us around in his parents' 1986 Buick station wagon.
Wow. Yeah. So you guys didn't have a truck when you started.
We didn't have anything. Yeah, we had a couple Sears Craftsman push mowers.
And a good old station wagon.
And a chauffeur,
technically.
We paid her like $5 a day, I think, to chauffeur us around. And she would do her homework in the car while we cut grass.
Wow.
So that's how we got started. I think we started our first year. I think we had like 8 or 10, 12 lawns we mowed or something like that as 14 and 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
And then over the years, we picked up more and more customers. And after 4 years, he went on to college. And I bought his side of the business out. It wasn't a lot at the time. I was 17, but bought out his half of the business. He went on to college, and I kept going with the business.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. Now, I know that you, when we met, right before we met, you actually had a little Mexico trip.
Yes.
Yes. So this was in 2010, I believe.
Yes, it was 2010. So I met and married my wife. We got married in 2008. At the time, the business was still relatively small. It was me and two or three other guys, mostly my brothers. So I have a lot of brothers, so they were
easy
hires. Yeah.
Trust, you know, we got trust there.
That's too. Right, yeah, and they did good work. So they were, you know, they appreciated it. I appreciated it. But my wife and I were feeling very strongly that we should be involved in missions work, particularly with children.
Yeah.
So we explored the Mexico option, ended up working at an orphanage down there, moved to Mexico, actually.
Yeah.
Packed up and moved everything to Mexico. That was a very interesting and character-building experience.
Yes, yes.
Very grateful to see the American flag when we came back across the border.
Yes.
You know, I love the Mexican people. Really, they're sweet people. But there's nothing like the good old U.S. of A.
Yes, nothing like home.
Nothing like home. Nope. And we do things so much better here, and I'm not afraid to say that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we do. I mean, freedom isn't free, is what I always say. So,
nope.
No, I was saying... I really agree. I think people after high school really should have that experience.
They should.
Where it's, you know, even if it's only 2 weeks, just go somewhere, check it out, and then you gotta leave, to be able to appreciate
what you
and
have.
And if you don't leave, you'll never appreciate it.
Yep.
I remember when I left Dayton, and it was only for a year in Savannah. And I came back and I was like, wow, Dayton is actually really, really cool.
It is.
We got everything we need. It's very economical. Mm-hmm. It's great to rent raise a family.
Yep.
And there's all sorts of people.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't really, it really is the melting pot. It's the heart of the United States.
It really is. Yeah. I think Dayton represents Dayton represents everything that's good about a small city in America.
Yeah.
We've got good opportunities. There's growth opportunities, a variety of ethnicities, business opportunities. It's we have it all.
Yeah, it's good people. I mean, I can't say enough positive things here about Dayton. But you got to leave to come back to really appreciate it.
That is absolutely the case. Yes,
that is the truth. So yeah, I mean, after that, after Mexico, then you said, you know, you were running the business for a little while.
Yeah. So after we got back from Mexico, we decided not to continue to pursue missions as a career. And we kind of had to refocus, regroup, and decide what we wanted to do. And at that time I decided
kind of really amped it up.
Yeah. Up to that point, we had been kind of, it was kind of just like a side hustle that we were doing full time.
Yeah.
And I was at a crossroads where I was either going to decide to become very official, do it the right way, mm-hmm. Get the licensing, get all the business paperwork taken care of, just become official.
Yeah.
So in 2011 is when we really got the LLC, got all the proper licensing paperwork with the state and everything done so that I felt like we were legit.
Yeah.
And then I felt like after that we were an actual recognized real business that could really do business.
Right.
And that's when we started learning about like payroll taxes. Yeah. And I realized I couldn't just pay my brother's cash under the table. That wasn't going to work forever.
Yeah.
So we started learning that there's this thing called payroll tax.
Right.
And that made us had to rethink our pricing structure.
Yeah.
Because we weren't making any money.
Right.
But we were doing good work. And I think a big testament to how we grew was just the fact that people could count on us to always do a good job.
Yeah.
We did good work. We took pride in what we did. And we just wanted to expand that and keep it going.
Yeah. Well, for real or for sure. That's exactly what you do is just, if you got a good thing going and you just do the simple things right, then you're going to have customers for life. That's just how it works.
Our phone started ringing like crazy. We had more business than we knew what to do with. So we figured it was time to figure out how to grow.
Right. So then you said around 2016 is when you had another little milestone hit.
Yeah. So in 2016, after 2011, as our company started growing, it kind of a big milestone for a lot of small business owners is to hit the million mark, doing $1 million in revenue in 1 year. And so it was a big dream of ours. And we finally hit it.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when. I think it was actually probably closer to 2019. 2019, I think, is when we first finally hit the $1 million mark.
Wow.
But yeah, that was a big milestone.
Nice.
So.
Nice. All right. Well, that's cool. That's really a phenomenal story. It's really kind of exciting to hear how it all started from like start to where we are now.
Yeah. It's been a journey. It's been the American dream. Sometimes
the
it's
American
a headache.
Dream. Yeah.
But as I heard someone say the other day, headaches are dreams too. Or not, nightmares are dreams too.
That's right.
So sometimes if the business is a nightmare, just remember that's still a dream.
That's true. That's true. That's very, very true. It's just a type of dream, right?
It's a type of a dream. Yep.
Sometimes
the dream's a nightmare.
So some of the things that you've done with the local economy, I know that you've got a bunch of local suppliers that you use to help accomplish this dream, as we were saying.
Yep.
Which is awesome because then you can keep it here, local here, Dayton,
yep.
or the surrounding areas of Dayton. So tell us a little bit about, you know, different suppliers you use, maybe why you use them, you know, and kind of maybe explain a little bit about your services, you know.
Yeah. So a lot of the services that we offer, we do rely on outside vendors to supply us with products. So for like spring cleanups, we use a lot of like fertilization for shrubs and flowers. Mm-hmm. And we use a lot of mulch. We buy hundreds and hundreds of yards of mulch. So a couple suppliers that we work with for the mulch, it would be like JB Mulch up in Vandalia. They've been very excellent at delivering our mulch over the years. we use the Mulch Man. They're a local supplier that we use just around the corner from us. They have mulch and rock products for like stone mulch that we put in for beds. Just one of the benefits of being in a city our size is we have everything close by. So we order mm-hmm. almost nothing in. We have everything we need at our fingertips. So like local nurseries, Brown and Sons up in Phillipsburg for plant stock. Siebenthaler's is a big Dayton staple. We use them for a lot of plants. Ohio Nursery Exchange up in New Carlisle supplies us with a lot of our plants. We get a lot of stuff from in West Carrollton, Site One Landscape Supply. They supply us a lot of like our herbicides and fertilizers and things like that. So yeah, it's just been really great working, building relationships with a lot of these vendors. You get to know them well. You take good care of your vendors. They take good care of you. It's been a really mutual relationship with a lot of the vendors.
Yeah, well, that's great. Yeah, I mean, you would think there's a decent amount, but then you really start to think about it. There's just tons of different vendors that
there is, yeah,
really, and helping in the local economy.
Our vendor list has grown quite long of just all the different businesses we rely on. And when they fail, we fail, because
right.
we can't supply the services that we do if they don't give us the products that we need to perform it.
Of course.
Most of them, I would say, have done a really good job.
Yeah, and that's phenomenal. I mean, it's just really nice to hear how it really kind of comes full circle into the whole, like you said, local economy, where it
yep.
comes into play.
Yep. Even things like equipment. The equipment that we use has to be very reliable. We rely on our local vendors to supply us with parts and service. So like Bobcat of Dayton has been great. Nest Lawn Equipment down at Germantown supplies us with our lawn mowing equipment. They've just been really good to us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure like over the years you probably acquired more equipment.
Yes.
More and more and more. But you know, obviously you probably don't have every piece of equipment underneath the sun. So
no.
You're going to have to rely on some local places that'll allow you to
yes.
either rent or borrow.
Yeah,
whatever.
Rentals too. That's a big one too. We do rent, and we've been able to acquire most of the equipment we use on a regular basis. But when we do need a piece of equipment that has to be rented, we have a network of rentals, probably six of them in the whole Dayton area that
yeah.
just have different pieces that we use from different times and whenever they're available.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really good how it works out. And
that's how business and commerce work. Is I help you, you help me, we all help
yeah.
each other.
Yeah, and then we keep the dollar spinning around.
That's
here.
Right. Yep.
We don't want it to float out.
That's right. Keep it local.
Yep. So it's all about. That's why we're doing this.
Yep.
Dayton approved.
Keep it local. Yep. I'm a big fan of doing business locally.
Yeah, that's why. Hey, I'm all about that as
well. If it's $11 to do it somewhere else and $12 to do it here, I'd gladly spend the extra dollar to do it here.
It saves you money in the long run.
In the long run, too. And you're helping your neighbors.
Right. And that's what it's all about. Now, some of the things that set you apart compared to other places, you're saying, like, you know, it's the little things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about the little things that, you know, a lot of times get overlooked in the landscaping world.
I think one of the biggest things we touched on it earlier is just simple communication. You know,
that's huge. Communication really is huge.
It really is. It's hard to underestimate how important that is.
Not just in business, but in personal too. Let's be real.
Yeah. I mean, marriage, family, and we all know how important communication is, but in business especially. So we all get frustrated when we call a business and we have to get an answering machine. And that still happens in our company. I mean, don't get me wrong. We do have an answering machine. People call in. Sometimes we can't take every call.
Right.
But if we can't take your call, we want to call you back as quickly as possible because you're paying our bills.
Yeah.
We can't do what we do without you as the client. So we value client interaction. We know that when you call in, it's because we have something that you need.
Of course.
And why would we ignore that? You know, so we do the very best that we can to make sure that communication is rapid, communication is quick. We have someone staffed who answers the phone during all the hours of the day. Well, business hours.
Right.
If you call in, we do the best we can to answer every phone call. That's a big one. We also try to pay attention to little things, like if your lawn is being mowed and we notice that there's a newspaper sitting on the driveway, take it up and put it on the side.
Yeah, common courtesy.
Yeah, put it on the front porch. If your trash can's been emptied out and it's sitting on the curb there, roll it back up to the garage. Just little things like that we try to notice just to go above and beyond. Do a little bit extra. You know, if you're on a property and doing a landscape project and there's, you know, a shrub that's out of control that needs to be trimmed, the client didn't necessarily ask you to do it, but you can tell
right.
it needs done, just go ahead and do it. You know, just take care of them. You know,
yeah.
don't need to make it, you don't need to make $5 on everything.
Right.
You know, just take care of people. And that's the code that we try to live by.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of comes down to your own personal core values and beliefs where, you know, you learned a long time ago. So,
yeah.
And you're just actually executing them.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah, it's really very simple.
It's very simple. And you know, it preaches easy, it lives hard. But
yeah.
when you actually do live that way, people start to notice.
Yeah, of course they do. And it's interesting how it should be the way, but it's so not the way that people notice because it's become so foreign.
It is, yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. Just don't look out for yourself. Look out for other people.
Exactly. Now, some of the other things too is like, you know, the design process of maybe some big projects, like an example, maybe like a patio project or a deck project or something of that nature. I don't know why I said deck. You guys don't really do decks, but you know,
yeah, we outsource that.
You do yourself. I know you do stone patios. So, mm-hmm. you know, just the design process of talking to the customer and then coming together.
Yep.
Talk about how that's a little bit different too.
So, so usually the way it works is the client reaches out with a, hey, I have a project that I'm thinking about getting done. I need some input. I need some advice. And I have some ideas that I'd like to throw your way and see what you think. So the first step would be we do a consultation, and consultations are free.
Yeah.
We do charge for designs, but the consultation is free. So we usually get with the client, we talk about what it is that they want done, what's their vision, and then we take our knowledge of the industry and we merge that with their vision to come up with what we feel like is the best plan. Something that will both, you know, enhance and improve their outdoor experience, but also fit their budget.
Right.
So that's the first step. And then once we do the design, we submit the design, we make the necessary changes. You know, there's always a couple things that they want to maybe do a little mm-hmm. different or add something in. And then once that's completed, they sign it off, we get the job scheduled, and we execute it from there.
Yeah.
And we try to do the best we can for clear communication and hassle-free as much as possible throughout the process. Landscaping can be very varied. There's a lot of things we're, you know, variables we're dealing with, like weather and supply issues and things, labor and staffing shortages. Yeah. But we do the best we can to make it a seamless process as much as possible.
Yeah, no, and it sounds good because when you have these processes in play that aren't like too overwhelming or too hard, mm-hmm. user-friendly is what I call it, then you can really achieve what your ultimate goal is. You said was, you know, affordable quality outcome.
Yep.
And I love that.
An affordable quality outcome.
Yes, love that. That's such a great statement because that's what this economy needs. That's not
right.
what this economy wants. And, you know,
right.
that's what people want.
People are getting tired of everything being so expensive and not being as good as they remember it being.
Absolutely. And that is a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole different discussion.
We'll talk a little bit about it later. So, but no, that's cool. I'm glad that you have a design process. So you can do things like that. So, you know, what are other things that you do? I guess right now would be a good time. Let's talk about different services you provide. I know we talked briefly, but what are some more services you provide?
The hardscape, softscape would be your design build. So it's okay. patios and new, completely new landscape installations. Mm-hmm. We also can take an existing landscape and do an enhancement. So there may be old bushes to remove and new shrubs to put in, flowers. We do tree removal as well on a limited basis. Mm-hmm. We don't like to do a whole lot of trees, but we do get into tree removal. Brush clearing, weed control. Those are two big services that we get into as well. Really just anything that's related to the care and upkeep of your outdoor space.
Right. No, that's good. I mean, you know, so you don't just cut grass.
We don't just cut grass. We do a lot of cut grass. Grass mowing is probably our largest service segment.
Yeah.
Of all the things that we do as a single service segment, but we do a lot of landscape enhancement, design build, and we do a lot of other things besides just cutting grass. So anything related to the care of and maintenance of your landscaping, that's in our wheelhouse.
Nice. So that gets us to some recent successes and whatnot. So why don't you tell us about some recent successes that you've had? I know you got a nice excavator was a kind of a success. I guess
yeah.
not super recent, but you know,
yeah, for a lot
some
of
milestones that you've hit.
For a lot of young and aspiring landscapers, having an excavator is like the dream tool.
Yeah,
like you know, everyone has a skid steer, but not everybody has an excavator. So, so we finally got to the point where we were renting one so much that it didn't make sense to continue to rent one all the time. So we decided to actually end up buying one. That was exciting.
Yeah,
buying a brand new excavator, that was a big deal. So we use that for a lot of our cleanup projects, brush removal, stump removal, drainage projects. It's been very, very handy for those. That's been pretty exciting.
That's good.
And even before the excavator, we got our first skid steer because we were getting to the point where we were buying so much mulch mm-hmm. that we didn't want to have to go to nurseries and supply centers to buy it because it was so expensive.
Right.
The volume we were going through. So we wanted to start buying in bulk so we could get a better price. But then now we had to have a way to load it into our truck. So we're hand loading all this mulch every morning to take to job sites. So we realized, okay, we need to buy a skid steer to load this stuff. So that was a big lifesaver. My employees were very grateful when I got,
yeah,
when
yeah,
I finally
sounds
got a skid
like
steer.
It. Yeah, so. I could just imagine every day. Oh, we got a first hour of the day. We
yeah,
got loaded.
First
up.
Hour of the day, we're loaded. Yeah, they hated it.
So oh,
some
I
guys
would
always like, well, we're going to quit if you don't get us a skid steer. And I'm like, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I'd be saying the same thing if I was you. So,
yeah.
So we finally got a skid steer and then an excavator. And And then just recently, a big milestone for us was finally getting J&L on one property.
Okay.
Because it's been like in my backyard. It's, you know, a friend of ours let us use his barn, and for a while we were parked at like an RV parking lot garage kind of thing, and we never had a dedicated place just for the business because that's a big expense, and
right.
Just was never in the budget. So we were finally able to purchase a piece of property next to where I live, and we cleared it out and developed it and has its own office now. It's got parking spaces. We have bulk storage. It's been really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge,
it's been huge. Yeah. The efficiency it's provided us, the it's a better image for our company. It's better for the employees to have places to park. It's just been really nice.
That's good. That's great. Now, I know you also had a pretty big contract that you recently acquired.
We
with
did.
The Dayton Mall.
We did. We picked up the Dayton Mall. We've been taking care of it for the last couple of years. That's been an interesting experience because it's a very large property, and there's been a lot of it's a lot of work, and it's a work in progress, I will say.
Yes.
It's been a really interesting experience for us as a large commercial contract. And it's something that we're used to taking care of commercial contracts. We've also taken care of the Fairfield Mall before.
Yeah.
We don't have that contract now, but it's something that we already had experience with. So that helped us with preparing for taking care of the Dayton Mall.
Right.
But that's been a nice account to have.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So what are some other commercial contracts other than, you know, the malls?
So Channel 2 is one of our clients. We take care of some of their stuff. In fact, we had a really big project at one of their towers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were putting some more height on the tower, so they needed to redo the guy wires to hold the tower up, so they needed a bunch of landscaping work done on the ground. A bunch of land clearing and lane creation for the guy wires. It's one of those projects you don't even think about.
You just kind of overlook. Yeah.
You know, like who does that kind of stuff? Well, we do.
Yeah.
So
we got to call a guy. Wait, we are the guy.
We are the guy. Right. Yeah. So that was a big project. That was, and a lot of fun. We really enjoyed that one. We put in like over, I think, 1 million pounds of gravel.
Wow.
That was way over 1 million. It was millions of pounds of gravel for that project. That was a big job. There's a company down in Springboro that manufactures, cartons for, fast food restaurants. So like Arby's and Lee's Chicken and things like that. The French fry cartons, that's, Hudamaki is the name of the company.
Okay.
But, we maintain their facility down there.
All right.
I'm trying to think some other commercial sites that we have a bunch of them. Those are just the only ones that are coming to mind at the moment. we do a lot of smaller businesses. We have a couple of power equipment dealerships. We've got a car dealership in Beaver Creek that we take care of. I think we have a couple car dealerships actually. We've taken care of Dayton Discount Furniture. Some of their landscaping needs over
that's
the years.
That's true. This new property though is the very concrete jungle.
Yeah, very not needing maintenance.
Yeah. We control. That's about it.
That's right. We've done snow removal for a lot of banks, Key Bank, Fifth Third Bank. Just over the years, lots of different. We do a Dorothy Lane Market on Far Hills Avenue. So I mean, there's just a lot of random commercial properties all, you know, peppered all over Dayton.
Well, I mean, you've been doing it for 20 years now.
Over 20 years, yeah.
So when you do something for 20 years, you start to get recognized. That's what I always say.
Yep, 2002 was when my buddy and I started in high school. And,
wow, so 22 years.
22 years ago, yeah. Been over 20 years.
Amazing how time flies, isn't it?
Time does fly. It gets faster and faster.
Well, you know, they say the reason time gets faster is actually not because it actually gets faster.
It doesn't.
But it's because we get older, and as we get older, we have more reference points in our minds. So because we have more reference points, it gives us the illusion or appears that it's going faster.
Yeah.
But now we can sit here and say, wow, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Where when you're 10 years old, you're like, what?
A long time ago. When I was 8.
Right. So it just feels a lot slower.
It does. It does.
Now that brings us to, you know, some challenges and whatnot. You know, everyone's got challenges going on. Obviously, the big one is inflation. I mean, I think everyone's dealing with that. The other thing is staffing. I know that's always a nightmare too. But let's talk about how it has affected your business.
Yeah, so both of those things have obviously been significant challenges, I think, for pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
There may be some notable exceptions out there, but so inflation, especially since COVID. So during COVID, we experienced an influx of business just because a lot of people were staying home. They weren't going on vacation.
Yep.
A lot of people were working from home, and they were noticing their yards more.
Yeah.
So because instead of going to Disney World this summer, we're going to stay home and maybe do some stuff locally. So they wanted their landscaping to look better. So, so during that time, as we're growing and we got all this business coming on, that obviously means you need more staffing. You need more people to do the work, which drove up the demand for better training and better hiring processes and things like that. So, but I think also with COVID, there was this, I don't know, it's like a societal change in the attitude towards work.
Yeah.
Like people didn't want to work as much. People didn't want to work as hard. And I don't know. I think there's multiple reasons for that, but we've been dealing with that societal shift away from hard physical labor, long hours.
I think it was an opportunity for people that just never really had a work ethic to really kind of exploit. I think that you had a combination of that.
I think there was some of that, yeah, for
and
sure.
And I also think there was also a combination where there were some deaths and people kind of realized, you know, life's short. Why am I working my ass off? You know, why am I doing that? What's it all for?
Sure, yeah.
So I think you got that going on. And
a lot
then,
of people are just probably asking why.
Exactly. And then you've got, okay, I'm getting free money.
That was an aspect.
Which is a bad behavior trait.
When the government just started pumping money into society, you know,
and it really
sending people $2,000 checks.
So not only did they devalue the value of a dollar with inflation, they also devalued the value of a dollar for the hard worker.
I think that's some of it, too. I think it's easy as a business owner to blame things on, people don't want to work. I don't
Correct.
Know that that's necessarily
true.
People
want to work.
People want to work.
Yes.
People want jobs. People want to be able to take care of themselves. People want disposable money that they can go do fun things and
Correct.
Buy nice things with. But I think because of a couple factors, I think businesses, because demand was up, they wanted more out of their employees.
Right.
And so there was this sense of employers are overworking people. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of discourages the worker. And the value of the dollar going down means your dollar that you're working harder for doesn't stretch as far.
Right.
So I think those two factors really caused a lot of disillusionment with the American worker, which has made hiring more of a challenge.
For sure. I mean, you got to get more creative. You got to do 401k plans. You got to do all these benefits.
Of benefits. And
healthcare, everything.
Everything.
They want it all now.
And there's only so much.
Paid time off. What time? Paid time off.
Paid time off, yeah.
When do I get that?
that's one of the benefits that we offer at J&L's paid time off. But I think to a large degree, it's forced employers to rethink the hiring process and who we hire.
Right.
We don't just hire any, like we were in a stage where we were just hiring people because they were able to work. And now we're kind of taking a step back and looking more at who are we going to hire who is really going to be a contributor to our organization.
Right. That really kind of brings us to a different point here a little bit later, but you know, like you're saying, but we can go ahead and talk about now. It's more like self-growth, you know, like what is going on with the business. What do we want in our business? You know, do we want, we've seen the good employees, we've seen the bad employees. How do we get more good employees? What are our core values? What are our principles? Which really kind of comes down to is, you know, how do I build and maintain a culture that's healthy for us and for our employees?
That's correct. Yeah. That's absolutely where we're at right now as a company is looking back over the last 20 years, looking back at the COVID era, and taking all that information and saying, where do we go from here?
Right.
How are we going to brand ourselves?
Who are we
as a company? And what are we going to mean, not to just to our clients, but also to the people who work for us?
Right.
What does working at J&L mean for me as a J&L employee? And why would I work for J&L versus anywhere else? And
right.
is this where I want to build my career?
J&L versus the world.
That's right. I mean, there's lots of landscapers in Dayton. Why work for J&L?
Right.
And I think that's something that we are working really hard at defining what that is. And I think we have found a lot of success in the things that we do. And we have set ourselves apart. We really do care about the people that work for us. We really do. And I think they feel that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain amount of like, you know, for example, we talked earlier before the show about, you know, I got a Cadillac. And I like Cadillacs because of it's American made. Well, I also like it because it is the, in my opinion, the best American made brand out there. And if you go to buy a Cadillac, they'll sit there and they'll straight up tell you, you know, well, you know, you try to start doing comparisons and all that. And they're like, I mean, but we're Cadillac. So
we're Cadillac.
Yeah. So there is no other Cadillac.
Nope.
And that's
the one and only.
Yeah, and that's the power of the brand, right?
Yes.
So it's like you can sit here and say, you know, oh, I might work at this other landscape company, but it's like, but you won't be with us.
Right.
We're the cream of the crop. We're the best. We have the, you know, not only are you working on, you know, the best landscape company, you're also going to have the best culture.
Yes.
We're going to be dealing with people that are, you know, I don't know, maybe it is a situation where it's like, okay, all these people are drug tested, where other companies are just going to hire
anybody
chuck in a truck, right?
Yeah.
That failed. So,
right.
You know, I'm just pinpointing little examples. So it's like how we're going to, you know, because then you really change.
Yep. Those are all things. Those are all things that we consider at our company.
Of course.
And like one of a move we made recently, just as early as last year, is we are a smoke-free company.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the people can't be smokers, but they're just not going to smoke at our company. They're not going to smoke on our clients' properties.
They're not going to smoke on the clock.
They're not going to smoke on the clock. You know? And that's, I think that means a lot to a client when mm-hmm. we send employees to their house and we're not throwing cigarette butts on the ground.
Right.
And a lot of companies won't enforce that.
Yeah.
You know, to us, it's a safety risk. It's a mm-hmm. health risk, and it's just not something that we want to do. We want to present a better image for yeah. our clients.
I mean, why would you want to leave trash?
Right. Exactly.
On the property. You know?
Well, or it's not considered as nice. You know,
right.
when you've got someone working by your house and they're smoking a cigarette. It's
yeah.
You know, it's in our society, it's becoming less and less acceptable.
Right.
And that's just one of those little things that we do that we feel like tries to set ourselves apart.
Yeah.
We care about the little details like that.
Of course, because the details are what's important.
The details matter.
Yes. Yes. Well, they always say God is in the details.
The devil's in the details.
Both of them are.
Both of them.
That's the problem. They both are.
They both are in the details.
Yes, 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 yes. That's funny. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's not just inflation. It's not just about trying to find good people and staffing, though. It's also, you know, everything is just getting a little harder.
It has, yes. Yeah. The business environment has definitely gotten more difficult.
Just the whole process.
The process, yeah. The process that we have to go through to sell a job is more difficult than it was pre-COVID. 2019, you would sell a job, people signed right up, you would go to one supplier who had everything that you needed, and now there's a lot more phone calling, waiting for return phone calls. Suppliers are out of stock of a lot of things. People are busier than they were before now, so mm-hmm. they're not as available to answer their phone or answer the email, both clients and vendors. It's harder than it was. It's definitely become a lot more challenging, and we're looking for ways to try to mitigate some of that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes complete sense. I mean, I feel the pressure too. It's just, you know, prices obviously are one aspect of things going up, but then it's just kind of like people are like, yeah, take it or leave it. You know,
right.
It's going to be there. It's going to be there when it gets there. You
right,
know,
right.
It's like, well, I need it tomorrow. Is that possible?
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get that. And I also understand that you got that Amazon Jeff Bezos mentality too, where it is like, I need
everyone's,
it 2 days,
yeah,
right?
So used to just pushing like the button, you got and have this it now.
Yeah. So then people think that is how it works everywhere, and like in my yeah. industry, it used to be before. Even now, I mean, they're working on it, but before, like when I first got into it, when we met, and it's around when I started, the average was 3 to 4 months.
Wow, that's a long time.
3 to 4 months. And then custom stuff, 6 months.
Oh, yeah, easily.
So the fact that, you know, that was the norm then.
Yeah.
And I was crushing it by being able to get stuff same day or within a week or two.
Yeah, that was fast.
Is insane. That changed the whole dynamic. Now everyone can do that.
Sure.
But now people are kind of pushing towards that 2 day. And I'm like, it's unless you've got it in your backyard.
Yeah.
Or in my, you know, unless I got it in my warehouse, you're yeah. not getting it in 2 days.
No, it's hard to hit those kinds of standards now.
Right. It's just really interesting how all these expectations come into play.
Well, I think because people are spending more for things than they used to before, goods and services are more expensive, that drives the expectation up.
Right.
And that puts a lot of pressure on us as business owners to try to meet the client's expectations. Because let's face it, we're not just simply in business to make money. We're in business because we have a passion for what we do, and
right.
we love taking care of people,
yeah.
and we love making people happy.
Yeah.
So we try really, really hard to do that, but we are somewhat limited by what we're able to get our hands on.
Right. I mean, the expectation is made somewhere, though. So, like, you know, a lot of people do point the finger at, you know, Bezos or whatever, and I would say, yeah, he's got a lot of blame. But at the same time, as an entrepreneur and a capitalist society, someone would say, you know, all Jeff Bezos is doing is raising the bar for everyone.
He really is, though.
I mean, he is.
He
and
totally
he's a
is.
Live example.
Yes,
and
he is.
That's where the free market really kind of comes into play. So he just took an expectation everyone always really secretly wanted and said, I'm doing it. And he did it, and he made a ton of money doing it.
He totally did, yeah. He found a way to get good, get it fast, and get it cheap.
Yeah.
And he's probably the first person who ever figured that out, and that's why he's so rich.
Next, ungodly rich, right?
Yeah.
Totally next level. So, it's not about how do we dumb it down. It's like, how do we find players or suppliers that are willing to kind of meet these new expectations? And it's interesting because we're in a big transition right now, because you got people that are just like sitting and hoping and praying, waiting for things to go back to normal, which is never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
And then you've got other people that are just like, they're doing the opposite. They're just like they're driving newer, bigger, and better expectations. So I notice in my industry, there's such a tour.
There is.
They've said that 50% of small business furniture businesses, that's what I do, 50% of small business owners will be gone by the end of 2024. 50%. Yeah. Wow. Now, if you know anything about 50%, 50% is depression numbers.
Oh, yeah.
That's
for
huge.
Sure.
So it'll be interesting to see if that actually comes through.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of, in my industry, I've seen a lot of guys come and go.
Yeah.
It's just doing business, no matter what economy you're in, business is a challenge.
Correct.
And it's a risk, and it's a reason a lot of people don't do it. Hats off to those who actually stick it out.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that kind of gets us to about, small businesses. I mean, like you said, you've been doing it for 20 years, and like you said, a lot come and go. So the rule of thumb is you take 10 businesses.
Yep.
And 1 year, you got one left.
Yep.
That's how it works.
That's how it
then
works.
Then you take that one.
In the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, it's actually, you take that one, and then you take that, there's one, and then you take that back 10 years, actually, they say, and then out of that, only one's going to survive.
Yeah. So, out of the 10 that survived the first
really
year.
So you really only have a 1% chance of surviving.
The first 10 years.
First 10 years.
That's correct.
Which is insane.
That's insane.
And here you are, year 20. Which is probably even smaller.
20 years in, yep.
And I always thought that 10-year rule was bonkers. I was like, no way. Then I started seeing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's interesting because people get to year 7, year 8. And I'm like, why are you throwing the towel in now? And they're just like, burnout.
Burnout,
and I'm like,
yeah.
Burnout?
Yeah.
And I never understood because I was young. So I was like, burnout.
Yeah.
There's no burnout.
I did have the advantage of youth too.
Yeah.
Do it while you're young.
Yes. And I felt it, burnout. I was like, "Holy crap! This is a real thing. I gotta figure out how to get over this because this is killing me."
It is, yeah, burnout will definitely kill you.
Yeah, it's like, how do you get out of it? How do you get over that feeling?
I think for me,
it was tough. It took me a while.
I bet it did. Yeah, I know. For me, I got out of the burnout by I think in 2016. I think that may be what you're mentioning earlier was I went and got a. I had experienced the burnout. I was getting to the point where. My business had grown to the point where I was wearing all the hats, trying to do everything. I was trying to repair equipment, do sales, do a lot of work in the field, manage the books, billing, payroll, all that. And, I was also trying to raise my family. We're trying to overhaul our house. It was so stressful that I got to the point where I thought I'm ready to get out of this. I can't do this anymore. So I took a job as a part-time salesman at a John Deere dealership. Because I'm familiar with equipment and I thought it was in sales and I thought it was something I could dabble with. And I kept the business running on the side while I went and explored other options. And I think that experience is what I needed to give me the fresh perspective of just how much I did enjoy being a business owner.
Right. And how good you had it.
How good I did.
Kind of like Mexico. It's interesting. Like Mexico, you got to do a little
sometimes
reset.
Sometimes you need those resets to see how good you actually do have it.
Right.
And then it's through those experiences you get that little more, you get a fresh wind in your sales to keep going.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as it's, done in a healthy way.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you're not walking over people and stepping on people and pushing people aside to do
it. Yeah, or hurting people, other people's feelings or, doing that. And we got in a whole long discussion about that, too. There's certain ways of doing that. Right?
Yes, there is.
Well, let's talk about, some other, networking groups and stuff that you are in. Like, what are some other things you're doing that is involved with, getting with way to grow your business. I know you said, you did a little B&I. That's where we actually
met. That's where we met. Yeah, we met B&I. Yep.
But you got this one peer group. You said it's called Simple Growth?
Simple Growth, yeah. Over the years, I love networking, and I love networking mostly one-on-one. So I love meeting with other business professionals, vendors. We go out to lunch. We do that kind of stuff.
We really kind of kept like a yearly lunch, I would say.
We did, yeah. We kept in touch on a professional and friendship level, and I like doing that with other business professionals. It's fun to just hear their experience. I grow so much and learn so much from what other people have done. And I really enjoy hearing their experiences. So a lot of one-on-one networking, B&I. I was in a very small business peer group that we kind of outgrew that one. And now I'm currently in one called Simple Growth. It's managed by a guy who's in our industry, and he coaches other business professionals specifically in landscaping. So that's a network of, I don't know, 20 or 30 guys.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm in currently. But, we email and phone back and forth and just cry on each other's shoulders or help pick each other up when we're feeling down. And right. So that's
been that camaraderie.
The camaraderie. You have to have it.
You do.
It gets very lonely at the top when you're in business.
It's very true. And I never really understood that until the end. And it's like, even us, when we talk, it's like we can talk about things,
mm-hmm.
but we can't with other people.
No. No, only business owners can understand other business owners.
We're in
owners.
That secret society, that yep. club, and it's...
I imagine it's probably how like nurses feel when they talk to other nurses. Yeah. Like, you just don't understand what a medical professional goes through right. at a hospital unless you've been there and done it.
Or even officers or cops or firefighters,
Or soldiers.
Yeah.
Who've been in battle. There's a brotherhood that's built because you're all... You have similar experiences.
Right.
So it's you have to have it. You have to have that network of people that you can lean on for support.
Yeah. And then you got to also have the willingness to listen too mm-hmm. for them.
Yep. That's always have a growth mentality.
Exactly.
Stay humble, stay hungry.
Exactly. Stay humble, stay hungry. That is very true. That's very true. I love that. I absolutely love that statement. So yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps us up on the story and everything, unless you got something on your story that you wanted to add or whatnot.
It's just been an amazing experience. I feel like I'm living the American dream.
Yeah, you feel like you're living your dream.
I'm living my dream and the American dream, really. Yeah. I mean, those who think that the American dream is just so easy, it is not. I mean, right. I'm grateful that we live in a country that affords us the opportunities to just build something from nothing.
Yeah.
And I guess I can just, the best I can say is that I've lived it and yeah. I'm still living it. And, yeah. And I would encourage anybody to go for it. Like if you have a dream, go chase it.
Yeah.
Be grateful that we still live in a country that allows you. I mean, those freedoms may not always be here.
Right.
But right now, and it's getting harder, I would say. It's getting harder and harder, but we still do live in a country where if you want to make something of yourself, right. the opportunities are there for you.
Yeah, I think the starting points are getting harder.
They are.
And that's what's scary about
the barrier of entry keeps getting higher.
Yeah.
But it's still there, and I think we should encourage that and support each other in that.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm all about. That's what we're all about here. So, well, that's cool, Luke. So, tell us about how to get a hold of you. What's the best way?
So we have a website. It's jnllandscape.com. You can email us from that website. You can find our phone number from that website. Phoning us, as we talked about earlier, is a great way to get a hold of us. We communicate well through phone.
Right.
We communicate well through email as well. You can fill out forms on our website. You can make requests straight from our website, and it comes straight to our inbox.
So what's the phone number that you like to use?
It's 937-422-0422.
All right, good. We'll make
easy
sure.
to remember.
Yes,
422-0422.
There you go. All right, we'll definitely make sure that we get that up on the video when you're
there
saying
you go.
That. And you want to leave us with any positive words of wisdom, here at the end. I know that you said you had a couple of things you like to say.
Yeah. Something I thought, if I had a megaphone and I could just, and I could just, say something to society, it wouldn't even be about landscaping. Honestly, it would be about parenting.
Right.
The next generation that is coming up and taking these job positions that so many businesses mm-hmm. have available, business owners are struggling to find people who have character.
Yeah.
They're struggling to find people who have integrity and who are honest. People who won't lie, people who won't, just do things to cover themselves. They're looking out for the person next to them. Those characteristics are becoming less and less prevalent. And guys like me we're looking for good kids who are looking mm-hmm. for to build a career, to stick with a job. We want to take good care of people. But we just, character is so missing from today's mm-hmm. youth. And I would just, if I could tell parents, hey, please stop chasing the almighty dollar and love your kids.
Yeah.
Love your kids enough to instill in them the values that grandma and grandpa had.
Right.
Hard work, good ethics, standing by your word, doing what you say, saying what you do.
The basics.
The basics of just, you know, being a good, decent human being and a productive member of society. You know, teach your kids how to stay out of debt. Teach your kids how to spend their money wisely. Teach them how to take care of their car. You know, just build responsibility into your kids so that when they go get a job, they're doing a good job where they are. And these employers, if they notice, and they will, they'll take good care of them.
Always.
And, you'll be setting your kids on a path to success for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And small businesses like us will really benefit from having a workforce that's disciplined.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, I got to save money and put my kid in college. College isn't for everyone.
And it's not. It's really, and it's becoming less and less so.
It's really true. And honestly, the other thing too is college will be there. So if you do want to go,
be there.
You can go
yep.
later on in life if you really want to.
Yep. Yeah, but there's tons of opportunities in the trades.
Yeah. And there really is, and a lot of growth opportunity, a lot of money being able to be made.
Yep.
And it's not just, you know, working on your back either. It's also using your mind.
That's correct. Yep. And there's advancement opportunities. You know, like, you may start in the field, but you could work yourself up into a management position.
Of course.
You can be a crew leader. You can move from crew leader to being an estimator. You can move from estimator to being a manager.
Yeah.
Move from manager to CEO. I mean, there's,
right.
you just keep working your way up through and you know, just be consistent through that process. And yeah, you can make something of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, management's huge.
It is.
As an entrepreneur, I can sit here and tell you, I'm the worst manager. So I'd love to have a good manager.
Yes. Management is a skill.
Yes.
A very valuable skill.
And you know about this because you yourself have 9 kids.
I do.
So you know all about raising those kids.
I do. And all too often having employees feels like having kids.
So you really have like 100 kids.
I have like 100 kids. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's funny. Well, Luke, it was a pleasure having you on, and it was a blast. It was good seeing you again as well.
Yeah, it was great. So thanks you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm happy to see you, and, you know, can't wait to get this one live and on the air.
Sounds like a winner.
All right. We'll see you later, buddy. It was great having you.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Subscribe and follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show. Every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at daytonapproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.